Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, how about Lucky in the city? Hi, Lucky. Thank you for calling. What's going on?
Hey, afternoon, fellas. Happy belated holidays. I hope you guys ate a lot of pie.
Indeed, we did. Thank you to you as well.
All right. So I want to get on this topic about the Warriors, man. And I feel that, Mr. Brandon Podziemski, Mr. Jonathan Kuminga, and especially Mr. Buddy, I can never make any buckets. Those three, they have to go. We have Melton coming in. We got Seth Curry coming in. They just signed L.J. Carr. Instead of going with garbage can Miles Turner, do not do that. Why don't you guys go and call China, man, and go bring back JaVale McGee? He's looking pretty damn good up there, man. And if he wants to shoot for the big fish, go and get Giannis. Try those three players, bring back JaVale McGee and Giannis. That's the twin towers right there. We got five now. And we already have shooting and defense. Simple.
I don't think it's that simple, Lucky. Like, I'm not going to, like, poo-poo all the ideas, but no, it's not. It's not. To me, it's not simple. It's not simple at all. JaVale McGee is 37 years old. I'm listening to a lot of Warrior fans continually get triggered by all of the people who've already had their 35th birthday who are already on this team.
Yeah.
So if what you want is athleticism, then I'm going to start removing people who've had their 35th birthday. So we can start there. The Giannis conversation is a completely different one and obviously means that you're rebooting your entire organization. Like, that's my only caution for Giannis, because there's a story that's come out today. He's in high-level meetings with the Bucks that are going to be over within the next 2 to 3 weeks, and they're going to come to a decision about whether he wants to be there or not. And I'm pretty sure it's probably going to come out that he doesn't want to be there. I don't think that the Warriors are going to be his destination, but obviously every city in America is going to be freaking out about it. And I'm not saying that I would be against it. I do want everyone to understand, though, that if the Warriors' mantra is, let's do what we can with the end of Steph's career, it becomes very difficult to now reboot everything in the middle of that. You're talking about a whole new roster with whole new rotations. Starting over, you're going to have to strip a bunch of players off of this team. You're going to be doing vet mins all around these two. And this is an even higher paid player. So, like, it's not turnkey. You're just like, we got Steph and Giannis. Boom, we win. You're starting over. And rebuilding again a whole new system, which I just think is very, very difficult to do in the middle of a season.
And you already know that the Jimmy and Steph works, and it worked in a small sample last year, and this year we haven't seen it enough to cement that it does work, but you can see that it actually does work. And so if you want to entertain Giannis, you're going to have to trade Jimmy Butler or Draymond and JK, and no matter who you trade to get Giannis, you're going to have to give up your future, multiple picks, two or three picks, and all the rest of it, all for Giannis, who's making the same amount as Jimmy, and Giannis has two more years. And so after those 2 years, and one of them is a player option, so if you do this and you trade Jimmy, just straight up, Jimmy and three first round picks and you get Giannis. Okay. You have a year and a half and then he has a player option. He can leave. And Steph has a player option. He has actually no option. He can leave. Draymond's contract is up. He can leave. And so now you're left with Pods. JK would be gone by then. So now you've got Pods, TJD, and Will Richard, and no picks.
I would imagine, just like you're 100% right, I would imagine that the acquiring team would probably try to work on extending Giannis in pretty short order. Pretty short order. Like whatever his player option is, I would imagine he declines it.
62.8.
Yeah, but he could go get 80. Like, okay. What did Shea just sign? Isn't he making 78 on his
Shea
extension?
Eventually, yeah.
Yeah.
He's not making that much this year.
Not yet. But
he's making 75.6 at the end of it.
There you go. Start right there.
We'll say bye to Steph then, because if Steph wants 65.
But this all kicks in basically after Steph's contract.
Well, it would be
a major. Yeah.
Well, his extension would start the year that Steph would have to re-sign if you wanted to keep him.
Right. Right. I mean, Steph might retire.
He might. But he might not.
He might not.
And if he doesn't, you want him to be here for whatever it takes. But for me, the whole Giannis conversation ended when they got Jimmy Butler and they gave Jimmy
what they gave him.
They gave Jimmy 54, which is what Giannis is making. So you made your bed. This is your bed. You hope that Al's sciatica gets better. You hope that Draymond keeps playing. And Draymond's played pretty well, I think. And you hope that your little secondary pieces can all fit a little bit better.
Here's the reality that no Warrior fan wants to deal with either, which is if I'm Giannis and I've had it with Milwaukee and I want to find my new home, he not picking here.
No.
That doesn't make any sense. And that's not me ripping here. Like, but that doesn't make any sense. He wants to join a bunch of people who are approaching 40 years old and see if they can catch a little lightning for a year and a half. And then what? Then what's he doing? Like that, I don't think that this, I know Giannis loves Steph. I realize that. But for the remainder of his career, how much Steph would actually be there? Not very much. So I don't, I don't think that's happening. And obviously we're 1,000 steps away from even having the conversation. EJ in Fairfield next on Willard and Dibs. Hi, EJ. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, how's it going, man?
What's up?
I think these guys are headed in the right direction with the Melton and Steph Curry coming in, man. I think we'll be headed in the right direction. One of the issues, though, is with the younger players, that second group. I've noticed, not to rag on Curry, but he pulls those guys out really early, man. They'll run the score up and get us back in the game. And he tends to stop their momentum. And he'll place the older guys in at that point as if he wants to have those guys finish it out. So, a lot of the time he kills momentum, and that's been in a few games. I couldn't name all the games, but it's been a few of them. I really like Quentin Post, man. I don't know what's going on, but I notice also with the young guys, they tend to lose their confidence. You know what I mean? It seems like player development is, I want to say, almost it's not there. I think we rely so much on the, and I think this has been for a while, we rely so much on the older guys that the younger guys don't get the proper player development. They don't know where their positions are going to be and what they need to practice in order to get better in those areas. And I think Kuminga is one of those players who has that issue. They lose confidence and then their shot just starts to go away, And at that point, if you don't understand where you want the offense and the defense, those are things. Issues also with the young players, especially like Kuminga, man. Kuminga, he tends to be lazy on defense. Pods lazy on defense. They tend to, instead of have a point of attack and stopping the actual attack, they tend to rely on their back end, which collapses the whole defense. And at that point, it's game over if you have a guard that can just break through. So, one of the major issues, and we all see that, like the point of attack defense is horrible. Pods tends to play on the side of the player. He'll give the player the lane and then, allow the back end to try and help him. And that's something that they kind of used to watch Curry do, but Curry used to do back in the day, but now Curry stands tall. He stands in front of the guards, man. He keeps point of attack defense pretty much, he does a damn good job these days.
Hey, EJ, I'd like to ask you a question. When you're like, because it sounds like you feel like you've got a read on what's going on inside the heads of some of these players. Like, where where do you get the idea that you're seeing multiple young players lose confidence?
Well, what happens is we'll have somebody like Post who's shooting the three really great, right? And all of a sudden, you know, he'll get pulled out of the game. I mean, he'll get pulled out of the game. And we have a few, you know, players where it's like if they do one thing, they get yanked out. Just like we're talking about with Spencer, right? I mean, he's not a young player, but he gets yanked out the game. And so at that point, you know, if you can't get a rhythm and you can't get yourself going, or if you are going and you still get pulled out of the game for short periods of time, then, you know, I'm not looking to get in their head. But it's just what's actually happening on the in the actual game.
Yeah, you know? I mean, EJ, thanks. I guess I get stuck on that one to the idea that, like, welcome to being a bench player in the NBA. Like, that's the deal. Like, Seth Curry just sat for 8 months and then walked into a game and started burying shots.
He's a veteran. You know.
I get it, yeah. But, like, you don't – I'm sorry, when you're 23 years old, you don't get to just be in the game the whole time. Like,
well, it depends on how you play. Will Richard, as a rookie, played 25 minutes again.
Right.
Because even when he's not scoring, he's making the plays that need to be made, and he's playing solid defense and all the rest of
it. But he's still getting, quote-unquote, yanked also. Like, I think we're overusing that term. If we're going to say rotations, then it's a rotation. Like, you're going to come out of the game sometime. I didn't see a whole lot of guys getting pulled in like a punitive sort of way.
Not Kuminga.
Maybe Moody.
And I mean, Kuminga.
If it was actually what I think it was, which was about the defensive play at the end of the third quarter, then you don't have to agree with it, but there's your answer.
Yeah, he didn't play in the fourth quarter.
Right, but
so.
He even said, like, Kuminga gets lazy on defense. Well, ask any coach in America. Hey, coach, how can I get yanked out of the game? Be lazy on defense, once again, is your number one answer on your family feud board.
When you foul Shai Gilgeous-Alexander like he did, which was, I don't think it was a lazy play. It was reckless. I don't know if it was necessarily what I would call lazy. It was just a play that you would hope that he learns from and doesn't make, where you have your arms just draped in the spot where he can come up and be the foul merchant that he is, and that was a smart play. And, you know, Shai was able to draw fouls from a variety of people, including Draymond Green, and... You know, he didn't love the call.
Right.
I don't know where you were in the arena, but Draymond
I was on the other side.
Draymond hits him in the elbow a little bit. It was just a tiny little bump, and then he hit him with the high five after the shot.
Yep.
But they called the initial, like, elbow bump, I think, and Draymond was mad, and he's twirling, and Steve Kerr's mad, and he didn't challenge, and, you know, Draymond committed a foul, and I wouldn't call that lazy. When you foul Gilgeous-Alexander sometimes, it's just you playing defense.
Yeah, I mean,
it's him doing what he does.
And he knows very well how to draw them. I would love for him to keep his feet a little bit more than he does. My gosh, there are these plays where if there's even a little hip bump, he goes and he hucks himself across the floor onto the ground.
There was a couple last night that he did that. He didn't get the call.
He does it all the time.
Scott Foster, shout him out in his crew.
Scott Foster.
He was great.
No,
great last night.
No, he wasn't.
It was the female official whose name escapes me right now.
Yeah.
That's with whom the Warriors, a lot of Warriors took umbrage.
That was the most of it. Scott got some anger early in the game, no doubt. Aaron in San Jose next up. Hi, Aaron. Your last name's not Turner, is it?
No, it's not.
Okay, that's good to know. Now, speak freely. Go ahead.
Just from what I've noticed since Jonathan Kuminga has been, you know, more of a focal point of this offense, they try to give him the ball more. That guy has some of the worst handles on the whole Warriors team. He gives up stolen balls, turnovers left and right. So it's really hard for me to see how you can justify him, you know, garnishing that big contract as well as being in the closing lineups every day. Like we said, guys like Pods, guys like Pat Spencer, you know, they have that ball control. Those guys show a lot more value at the end of the game when turnovers are so much more crucial. So let me know what you guys think.
Aaron, thanks. For me, I think that the common thread, this goes for all Warrior basketball players, and it is a function of having at least one, and the Warriors have two. They have two Hall of Fame offensive players. And when I listen to Steph and Jim.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental, the scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Jimmy talk after the game. What I hear them talking about constantly, for me, boils down to decision-making. They have a system. They have a way that's won them a lot of games. Has it expired? You could argue that. You could argue that for sure. But that's what they are attempting to do. And for everybody else on the team, those who conduct themselves within that system the best, and make the decisions that that system calls for them to make the best, are going to get the most minutes. That's what I see. And Jonathan really struggles with that sometimes. And for me, here's the one that I think gets the bench every time. Like, if Jonathan wants to shoot a three, okay. If he goes to the hole and gets fouled, he ends up at the free throw line, okay. If you're on ball defense, maybe you foul someone, okay. When you see Jonathan Kuminga with the ball, hesitate a little bit, and it gets late in the timer, and then it's three or four dribbles into the lane, doesn't get by his man, and does a turnaround fall away with a 6'9" player in his face from about 9 feet. To me, you can feel the tension from the Warriors bench. They, in my opinion, have likely begged him to stop doing that. And he doesn't stop doing it. But it's also hard to stop doing because he's trying to penetrate. And if it's not there, then where do you go?
Right.
Because he usually has it late in the timer. So I get it. But it just, that's what gets the Warriors to me.
It just depends on time and circumstance. And I'm looking at all 10 of his shots right now from last night's game. And the first one is exactly what you're talking about. It was a mid-range. It was a step back from 16 feet. And there were 17 seconds on the shot clock. So he gets the ball, and he drives in off the left side, and he gets to about 12 feet, and then he steps back and shoots a mid-range, with literally 16 seconds on the clock. Those are the shots that you absolutely cannot take in this Warrior offense. That shot's there with 5 seconds left or four or whatnot, and I'm looking at his fourth shot of the game, actually his third shot, which he made. There was 4 seconds on the clock. He got the ball in the low block, and he was able to dribble back and do a step back with three on the clock. That's a shot that he had to take. You're running out of time. So that's a mid-range, but yeah, that's the shot you take. Like the here you do it guy, as you like to call it.
Here you take it.
But the first shot he took is exactly what you're talking about. And in the third quarter, he had a couple of those, which is, 12 on the clock or 13 on the shot clock. And he's just trying to get the ha-ha.
Yep.
And you can do that. And if you can't get all the way to the basket, then stop and kick it back out because there's time for you to shoot a forced 18-footer at the end of the shot clock.
That's a good point. You'll see a lot of Warrior basketball where there is a penetration into the lane, and if there's no finish at the rim, especially with how small they are, you're seeing guys do the skip pass and the jump pass and try to find an open three-point shooter. When Jonathan takes it into the lane, that's usually it. That's usually it. He's going to take a shot. He's going to try to get fouled. And then, by the way, there were a couple plays last night where he didn't get the foul that he wanted. And as the ball's heading the other way, he's having a conversation with the ref. And that's Luka ball. And no.
Yep.
I don't like it when Luka does it, but Luka's Luka. I certainly don't. There's no NBA coach is going to take, your sixth, seventh, or eighth man doing that. There is no room for it.
No.
As Jimmy Butler, I think, called it in that article, when he starts doing that BS.
Right.
That's that.
Yeah, and you see it from Jimmy's a lot of players. And it's one thing if Steph does it, because, Steph, you talk about falling down, he'll go to the hoop and, try to draw contact and get contact, and he'll sprawl to the baseline, and he'll look up like, hey. And then, by the time he gets up and he runs back down, he's probably behind the play, but he's 6'3", and he's not going to be a guy who's going to protect the rim like J.K. might.
Ray in El Sobrante is next. Hey, Ray, thanks for the call. What's up?
Hey, guys, how's it going? Just want to talk about last night's game. Incredibly entertaining game. Disappointing outcome, but not completely unexpected. My comment is on all the knives out for Brandon Pajemski and also Steve Kerr. Absolutely ridiculous. In hindsight, do you leave Spencer in? I don't know. But to that point, fourth quarter, Brandon Pajemski was having a great game, plus 12 in the third quarter. They had an incredible third quarter comeback. Of course, he earned the right to close that game. Now, do you put Pajemski and Spencer in at the same time? Maybe you do that in hindsight. But it's pretty foolish to say that Pajemski didn't earn the right to close that game with the game he had. Now, you put him in there with the last few minutes. Cauldron against the 20-1 Oklahoma City Thunder without Steph Curry, without Jimmy Butler. He didn't play well. He made a few mistakes. The Warriors lost, but I'm just not seeing this. The knives out, and also with Steve Kerr, his rotations. Like, no rotation is going to change the game when you're out, when you have Steph and Butler out. And whatever happened to letting the young guys make mistakes? Brandon Pajemski is 22 years old, youngest guy in the roster. I think overall it was a good game, a good learning experience for everyone on the team. And, root for the guys in the blue and the gold,
Right. So, yeah. Yeah, thanks for the call, Ray. Appreciate it. All right, this is, it's an interesting call because we can explain it, and I bet a lot of you can explain it. This is when you know that sort of like the axis is off on something, and that is if you come out of last night's game, I was there, and I would have stayed. I wanted them to stay with Pat Spencer. They didn't. I didn't find it to be an offensive decision, but I wanted him to stay in the game. That's what my fandom was rooting for. Yep. But if you then take what happened and come out of last night's game and say Pods lost them the game, then raise your hand. You're kind of a Podsist. And that's that. It's okay. You get to like whoever you like in sports, and you get to not like whoever you don't. If you want him off the team or whatever, like you get to do that. But Ray's point is, if you take that game as a whole, a pretty good night for Pods. He made some mistakes.
Right.
Saw a lot of guys make a lot of mistakes. Pretty good night for Brandon Pajemski. So if you come out of last night and that's your first thought, then that's the dynamic we're talking about. And I spoke about earlier, which is there's a lot of this fan base that, because of the way this is unfolded, they don't like Brandon Pajemski. It's because of what he represents. He represents that he gets all kinds of leeway from Steve Kerr that other players don't get.
I do think there's a little bit of the Shanahan bias in there as well, because Pods thinks he's better than the fans think that he is.
That's
and so,
true.
And, Shanahan is so arrogant, and he's an egomaniac, and whatever you think about Shanahan and that laminated play sheet, well, Shanahan's really good And I don't think that Shanahan thinks that he's better than he actually is, but Pods, with some of his commentary and some of just the way he carries himself, I do think that that puts some fans off. And the whole thing about Pat versus Pods last night, when Pat came in, they were down two, and when Pat left, they were down four. So Pat was great.
Right, but you
and could, without Pat, they might have been down 14.
Exactly. Like you could easily argue that. Sure. I think very like
and then
accurately.
Pods comes in and it's a missed three, an ill-taken three, and then a turnover. Right. So I do think that as a fan, and you were there and I'm watching at home, and I would have liked to see them just play it out with what they had. I was kind of with you, but
I'm with you.
You know, when they brought Pods in, I was like, okay, Pods is having a good game. It didn't really bother me. Until it bothered me.
Okay, but here's an interesting exercise. You mentioned that Pods thinks he's better than he is, and that bothers people. All right, let's keep going. Does Pat Spencer think he's better than he is?
We don't know. I mean, we don't really know.
We don't?
We don't. We haven't heard him.
I would argue there are many. Now, last night the shots went in, but there are moments where Pat will try to drive the lane against somebody who's a foot taller than him. And I'm like, Pat, what are we doing?
But what's the difference between confidence and arrogance?
It's a very fine line.
Results. It's results. And yeah, if you're Pat Spencer, the expectation is so low that obviously Pat thinks he's better than the majority of people do because he's wearing number 61 and he's a lacrosse player.
Correct.
And yet he carries himself out there like, I can get a bucket at any time.
All right, let's do it again. Does Jonathan Kuminga think he's better than he is?
Probably.
Yeah.
His agent certainly does.
So why does it only bother you when Brandon Pajemski does it?
Because he said it. And what
That's
he
fair.
Said about
I
him
mean,
being, I want to be better than Steph Curry. Like, okay.
Well, that's absurd.
It's absurd, but I do think that when that gets said, it's like if I came on here and said, you know what? I want to be better than Joe Buck. I'm going to have a better career than Joe Buck. Okay, Dibs, go to your room.
First of all, it's lame and annoying, but it's so absurd that I found it very easy to laugh off. Like, that's absurd. Did LeVar Ball make y'all lose your minds?
Oh, it was annoying.
Right. It's annoying. And yeah, for some people, sure. Yeah. Like, LeVar Ball made us lose our minds. At a certain point, though, didn't he become so sideshow, carnival, ridiculous that you were just like, okay, LeVar.
Cartoonish, a little bit like Charles Barkley.
Right. And you know, maybe you don't want that role for one of the starting five on your favorite NBA basketball team, but it's just like, I don't know, man, whatever. You think you're better than Steph? Good for you.
But like, he hasn't, and again, this is just me thinking about it from the terms of the comments, and I like Pods. We've had him on the show a bunch of times, and I do think he's more humble than those comments were. But Draymond Green, when he talks about being the best defensive player in the history of the game, I don't agree with that, but he's got the plaudits, and he's got the resume where you can at least look at it and go, ah, I mean, he's got somewhat of a case. He can guard 1 through 5, and he's been, you know, all defense like 9 times. And so that becomes less offensive because he has the plaudits.
Klay Thompson think he's better than he is?
Not anymore. I mean,
no?
I don't know what he thinks now. I know he named his boat after his girlfriend.
Sure.
The SS Stallion.
Great.
So I think he's in a little bit of a different space.
He might be. How about when he left?
I think that he, when he was asking for that contract,
right,
and the team said, hang on, we'll get back to you. I do think that he thought that he was worth more than they did.
How about when they took him out of the starting lineup?
For sure.
Yeah.
But again, he had the plaudits and the resume to where it becomes less offensive.
No doubt. But at that point in his career, he wasn't that guy anymore. I guess I sort of feel like I could do this with the majority of the NBA. They think they're better than they are? Do they think that they're better than who we think they are?
Let's go to Jordan Poole as a great example.
No question.
Jordan Poole thought that he was more integral and he thought that he was better and more indisposable to this team than they did.
Right. Right.
And
like it's a pretty familiar story, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
It is.
And that's part of professional sports. Like, you have to be completely myopic and maniacal.
Yeah, well,
about
pick any wide receiver, right?
Right, yeah. About your abilities. Juwan Jennings, I want $22 million a year. Good for you. Good for you.
Here's 9.
Right.
Or whatever.
Here's the playbook. Go play. Like, this is, I, I don't know.
It doesn't offend me, but I do think that's part of the, as you called it, podsism, which may be one of your new isms. You're the king of the ism, draftism and podsism.
Well, I called people a podsist, but yes. Yeah, podsism.
Yeah, and you can't be a podsist without practicing podsism.
It's very fair. Right.
So,
and there's Kuminga-ism. It doesn't flow as well, but no. Yeah, there's all of it. There's all of it.
Well, I do think that the biggest trigger point of the podsists is Kerr's affinity and his unrequited love for pods that the fans don't share.
Or does Steve just not have any other options?
Or does Steve see a guy who is reliable in what he does for the most part?
For the most part.
And a guy who does the little things that Steve Kerr likes in a player.
I mean, pods has made Steve bang on the table as well.
Yep.
He gets yelled at as well.
He's Kyle Juszczyk. I mean, like Juice, great catch in the first play from scrimmage. But other than that, all right, Juice, we're not going to hand it to you. We're going to throw it to you a few times. Just go block.
I got something for you.
Talk to me.
Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line.
Oh, boy.
925. I'd rather listen to Dibs than JB anyway. Does anyone actually like JB? JB would be Joe Buck.
Oh, I thought,
you're better than Joe Buck.
I was thinking Jim Barnett, and that would be offensive.
There's a lot of great JBs out there.
Yep.
A lot of great JBs. Well, that's not where my mind went.
Former program director.
I went to James Brown.
Yep.
Who,
JB Bickerstaff. NFL,
yeah, there's a lot of them. We can
so
do
many JBs. But thank you. And yeah, I feel like Joe Buck sometimes with the economy of words on this show.
Really quick, can I add something here? It's unrelated to this conversation you guys are having.
Sure.
But you guys know the news related to Giannis that has come out today, that he and his agent are beginning to look for maybe ways out of Milwaukee. He's playing in today's game, or at least he began playing in today's game. He went down grabbing at his calf, and the Bucks have said he has a right calf strain.
Oh, God. Yeah. Real or fake?
It looked pretty real based on the replay that I'm looking at, or the highlight. It happened 3 minutes into the first quarter.
There you have it. You don't want Giannis damaged goods. And we know what we say about players who can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
Steph Curry, Jimmy Butler, they're dusts. I guess Giannis is too.
Giannis, calf, floor, injured.
Out.
That's my Joe Buck.
Has Giannis played his last game for the Milwaukee Bucks?
Bum, bum, bum. Cavs are tricky.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go out on a limb and say yes.
Wow, that is a limb. Yep.
Well, there's no consequences if I'm wrong. We're just sitting here.
Has Brandon Ayuk played his last game as a Niner?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
So Giannis is more likely to play as a Bucks than Ayuk as a Niners?
Absolutely.
That's fair.
Yeah. I mean, you could hear it. They talked about it this week. They're like, yeah, like the door's open for him to play. They're like, is he going to? Probably not. We're just kind of hoping.
Yeah.
But
Deshaun Watson as a Browns or Ayuk as a Niners?
Neither.
Yeah.
Durf in the city. What's up, Durf? How you doing?
What's going on there, gentlemen? How you doing?
Great.
Thank you. Great, great. I'm glad you have brought me on here because, boy, you guys are all off beat on what's going on here.
Uh-oh.
You know, I'm a diehard Warrior fan like everybody out there listening. And the fact of the matter is, there is a number of problems with the entire organization right now. And if they don't open up their eyes, they're not going to make any changes. For instance, our Hall of Fame coach, love him to death, will ride or die with him, but he's completely off beat right now. He's trying to use a formula that won all the championships with a team that doesn't have the makeup or the skill set to accomplish it. He doesn't have the ability to make changes. He will not change. He's stuck with the way he does things, and he can't see clear of the forest right now because of the trees. He's played all the championships we had the right type of makeup of a team that was able to play the kind of ball he wanted to play, which was successful ball. He does not have it. You can't play four guards that are under 6'5" and think you're going to win in the NBA.
Okay,
you
but Durf.
Not put them guys out there. Yeah. No, let me finish, Willie, because you're a little bit biased on this one this week. You're normally pretty even-keeled, but you're a little biased.
Well,
by the way, Dibs, You're a Hall of Famer in my book, man.
Oh, thank
you,
Durf.
I don't care what nobody else says. Nobody wants to.
Let this guy talk
Joe
a little
Buck
bit.
Taking on the... No, because I have a question.
No, let Durfy.
Durf.
I like it, Durf.
No, you can't say he can't play that way without then following up with how he should play. What are the choices that he has on his bench that he could make a change with?
I will follow up with how he should play.
Great.
How he should play and how the organization needs to play. They need to move Pozinski. They need to move Buddy Hill. They need to move Spencer. They don't need those three guards. They're not going to get them anywhere. They won't win with that. Jonathan Kuminga. Everybody out there, including me, was raving about 2 months ago when the kid got the contract and he came out and he played the way he was supposed to play. Not the way we wanted him to play, the way he was supposed to play. Why all of a sudden he's not playing the way he's supposed to play? I wonder why. I can't say it was the coach. I can't say it's the organization. I can't say it's him. But there's something changed there. And the reality is, I would take that kid on the floor and teach him properly. Our coach hasn't done it. He just hasn't.
Let
Durf eat is my new. I'm gonna get a bumper sticker. Let Durf eat.
Stay right there, Durf, because I sort of feel like you moved the goalposts there. You can't tell a head coach that the different way to play is to start trading players who are on his team. He does not have that option. So again, I'm gonna hear you, and I do. If you've got a problem with who Steve is putting on the floor and the way the style of play, you've got to tell me who's on the bench right now that would effectively do it differently. It is not Steve Kerr's job to make trades, nor are the players you even brought up tradable, especially in early December.
Let me answer your question.
I would first
start with Post. The kid's game has been improving. His defense has been improving every game. Here's my problem with Paz to start off with. Paz can't play any defense at all. We won 4 championships with a team that was outstanding defensive team. He does not play defense. You can't put a non-defensive player next to Stephen Curry because we're not going to get that high-level defense out of Curry. We all know that. That's why we had Klay. Klay was a much better defensive player, a larger player, and that created the situation where people couldn't penetrate our team. We always had a big man in the back. The big man was able to pass or pop out and shoot. You got players. You're just playing the wrong player.
Who?
There's no question.
Who, Durf?
Quentin Post?
Quentin Post in for Pods? Is that what I heard? Hey, Durf, what about this? What if you and I make an agreement right now? After this road trip, call back. What if Pods starts losing a good portion of his minutes to DeAnthony Melton, who is a good defender and actually can shoot at an even higher clip? What if that happens? Will you call in and reboot your Kerr take?
No. What I'll be happy with if they put Buddy Hill on the bench where he deserves to be because he hasn't done anything.
Okay.
I would put Barnes on the bench because he can't play defense.
Okay.
The kid is not a starter.
Durf.
I don't care how much you like him. He is not. You can't sit up there and pump him up like he's going to be the next Stephen Curry when he can't hit a shot consistently. He doesn't play defense. The only thing he has in his game is he's a hustler. That's great, but that's not NBA quality.
Okay, Durf, you cooked.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, Durf.
And Dibs is better than Joe Buck.
Yep.
I still didn't hear who's supposed to go in for him.
Well,
that's what I keep asking.
If you want to talk about defense, it's more GP2, who's been awesome the last couple of games.
He has.
The problem with this team is your best defenders are not great on offense.
Exactly, which is why DeAnthony Melton might really change the calculus.
Yep.
But the reason I keep asking that question is not because I want to defend Brandon. It's because I want people to understand what the real crux of the issue is with how many minutes Brandon gets. Who are you putting in for him?
Without Steph Curry on the floor.
Don't say Quentin Post. Who are you putting in for Brandon Pajemski, who does those things and plays that position?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer.
When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, you got Will Richard. Will's playing a lot.
Okay.
You got Buddy Hield, who is not a great defender. And beyond that, you start looking at wings like Moses Moody, and he plays a lot, and he's having a little bit of a quiet year on both sides of the floor. And so, yeah, you don't have a lot of other options. That'll be interesting, and I'm glad you put it that way to Durf. And thank you for the kind words, Durf. When everybody's back and healthy, then we're going to see who actually gets to earn the minutes.
Then we'll see. All guests on 95.7 The Game, including Durf, appear on the River Islands guest line. He was on for like 5 minutes, so that counts as a guest spot.
Yep.
Who was on today? Greg Cosell and Durf. Go to YouTube and the Odyssey app if you want to hear it. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? It's Willard and Dibbs.
And Will Richard, ball goes to Draymond, back over to Spencer. Bad pass deflected away and grabbed in the backcourt by Buddy Hield. He's got 7 seconds. Brings it across the timeline. Crossover dribble of beauty. Down the lane, to the paint. Feeds Payton, right side, triple. Got it! Golden State takes the lead.
Buddy Hield, playmaker?
It's the third lead change of the game.
Bay Area is GP2. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
That was a good chat today.
Yeah, it's been good.
You know. I mean, let's just put it on the table. Just put it on the table.
Put what on the table?
All of it.
Thank you.
Anytime
you put anything on the table.
But this wasn't a wrap because it's like,
wow.
Yeah.
Be a lot cooler if it was.
Yeah. I just think, let's be real.
Rats, man.
About the dynamics that are going on right here. And so, you know, I would have kept Pat Spencer in the game. That's super micro. Macro, I'm still bummed at the way the entire summer went. That was a crappy offseason, and I've learned from the San Francisco 49ers. Crappy offseasons lead to crappy seasons. They just do.
Not always.
Not always, but they can. And here we are. And then the whole other part, like, you can slice this and dice this however you want. But Brandon Pajemski has fallen into a spot that I find to be a little bit unfortunate. I don't think the guy's a perfect player at all. I don't even think he's a great player. There are a lot of times where he's not even a good player. But he's fallen into an unfortunate spot where he sort of is getting blamed. He's getting the ire from people, which I think is just positional more than everything else. I get it that a lot of people think he's Steve Kerr's pet. I just happen to think he's Steve Kerr's one of his only two guards. That's what's leading to him getting the minutes that he gets. And then meantime, Jonathan Kuminga is having what I think, even if you are the biggest optimistic fan of Jonathan ever, the best thing you could say about last night was that it was okay. He was okay. He had some good moments in the third quarter. He didn't. Yeah. He had a lot of very poor moments in the game as well.
What I would say is that he played with effort. He didn't always make the smart decision, but he played with effort. And in that third quarter, He had a couple of rebounds. He knocked down a three, and he played with as much force as he possibly could, and yeah. then he sat for the fourth.
I don't question his effort at all. I also don't give people a whole lot of flowers for effort. I find it offensive when they don't, quite frankly. And so, good effort. I thought it was a very mediocre game for him, and to have his agent start tweeting about decision-making by the Warriors moments after that game ends, I think is just a big, fat negative for the whole team. That's all. It doesn't even matter if you agree with him or not. Can we all agree that it's not a good thing when player agents are sending out on Twitter, like, grow up. Seriously?
It was passive-aggressive.
You're sending out on Twitter shots fired about Steve Kerr.
Just who are you? What are we doing here? Was the tweet.
What are you doing here?
Right.
Aaron, you're firing on social media at Steve Kerr on a Tuesday night after a loss to Oklahoma City? You want to give a facepalm and a what are we doing here? How about a mirror? What are you doing?
No Steph. No Jimmy, and JK can't even get a second in the fourth quarter? What are we doing here?
What is your end game? And if your
end game is getting out of here.
Then get out of here.
Are you gonna go full on?
Get out of here.
It feels like a Friday all of a sudden.
Honestly.
That's a stat.
There they are. The two best boys on town.
Thank you.
Yeah, 43 days.
Do a Giannis, fake a calf injury, and get out of here if that's what you so badly want. Like, come on. This is not...
He can't even play a second?
That's not the point.
That is the point from his standpoint.
But you don't tweet that. You're the player's
agent.
He's
allowed to.
He is allowed to, and I'm allowed to think that it's sophomoric, stupid, and unproductive.
Counterproductive, yes. That's the word I was thinking of.
What the hell does that get done? What, you think Steve's like, oh my God, I had no idea that Aaron thought that this was a bad move. We're going to switch it up.
He's taken up for his guy. And
on Twitter.
Well, it's much like the Cleveland Browns defensive lineman who went after Juwan Jennings after Juwan ticked them off. They didn't go on Twitter. They went to the podium and they invoked Santa Claus in name-calling Juwan Jennings.
Shelby Harris.
Thank you, yeah. Grandy. At least Shelby Harris put his name on it and didn't go to Twitter. So this is different. And I don't even know if Kuminga's sitting on the bench in the fourth quarter and he sees his agent in the crowd and he gives him the two thumbs. Yeah, he gives him the two thumbs. And Aaron's like, I got you. And so then Aaron pulls out his phone and he goes to the two thumbs, which is weird because you're a one index guy. And whenever I watch you like text or tweet,
I'm terrible at it.
It's a little off-putting.
Yeah, because
you're a one index.
I peck at it like I'm
but you're fast. Like, it's just off-putting because, like, it's not normal.
Yeah, I know.
But you get it done.
No, I know. It's very abnormal.
So I think Kuminga probably went two thumbs, wiggle, wiggle, and Aaron Turner gave him the, you got it.
I don't even think he needs to give him the two thumbs. You think Kuminga just finds him in the audience and just give him the nod. That's it.
Or gives him the pucker and gives him the tweet whistle.
And give, just that's it.
Look, yep.
Do your thing.
Yep.
Aaron. I mean, come on.
Did you order the code red?
Like, is this really? Is this what we're doing? This is what we're doing. This is how a professional NBA agent, this is what we're doing.
What would be worse if Kuminga told him to do that or if he just did it on his own accord without his client having told him to do it?
That's an interesting question. I mean, the way where my mind goes when you ask that is by extension, Kuminga did tell him to do it either way because he works for Kuminga and this is not the first time he's done it. And so if Kuminga hasn't told him to stop, then he's complicit. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah. And I mean, if their end game is to Kurt and Hayward Hills get out of here, then yeah, this is all part of it. And the reason why Kuminga didn't play in the fourth, I'm looking at the final sequence here. Warriors cut it to two. Kuminga, with 16 on the shot clock, shoots a one-handed turnaround fadeaway from 10. No good. And then moments later, they get the ball again, and he comes down and shoots it's called a driving hook shot. And, yeah, they're down one at this point with a minute and a half to go, and he drives in, 18 on the shot clock, and it's a hook shot, and that's the one where he thought he got fouled, and so he's standing there as the Thunder, they go the other way. And then the next possession, late in the clock, he shoots again. Three shots late in the third, and that was going to do it.
It's time for triples for autism.
I love it.
Yeah, because the Warriors do, boy, they hit threes.
Draymond Green.
Yeah. It's brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners, Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area. Warriors made 18 three-pointers last night. Rule is, they make at least 10, then Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area gets a donation from Pettinelli. So, yet another donation to the Autism Society San Francisco. No Steph Curry, no Jimmy Butler, but Pods and Draymond had three each. Seth Curry, Buddy, and GP2, a couple each. Six others chipped in with one. All 11 Warriors that played made at least one. That is the 22nd donation of the season for Triples for Autism in their 22nd game. If you would like to help out, we would love it. With a donation to autism, get involved at sfautismsociety.org. That was Triples for Autism, brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. Pettinelli is here for you, offering financial guidance and support throughout life's milestones. Go to PettinelliFP.com. Grandy, what's about to happen on the radio here?
So it's a Warriors Roundtable coming up next. Kevin Dana out, though. I will be sitting in for him.
Hey!
So it's Gary St. Jean and Grandy with an hour of Warriors talk coming up next.
Wow.
Normally I do my Gucci or my Rand dance. I don't do a Grandy.
You should.
Yeah.
Why don't you give a grade on something?
Well, instead I'll just do my Saint. 4-3-2-2.
Yeah.
Hello, fellas. I love the saintly one.
Who doesn't?
Not a person.
Yeah. And if that person's out there, I don't want to know that person.
I'm down on that person.
Totally. All right, so here comes Grandy and the Saint, and it's Warriors Roundtable, and it's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Do you want to do it again tomorrow?
I got a pick to make.
You got a pick to make, and that pick is going to come at you in short order, people.
Go shorty.
Because Warriors Live starts at 3. Warriors on the road. No Steph, Jimmy, maybe. Is Aaron the agent going to be there? Only one way to find out.
Kaminga's also questionable, by the way, with an ankle.
Questionable concern.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll see.
Anyway.
Let Pat cook.
For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. That's all you got.
He deserved it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.